Please be seated. I was recently at a meeting, a churchy kind of meeting, with about 12 people. Part of the group were clergy, part were lay folks. And as a part of that meeting, at some point, the following question was asked. When was the last time you were astonished? Now think about that. What a wonderfully weird question. When was the last time you were astonished? I'll give you a second to think about it. Did you come up with something? Or was your mind racing back and forth, trying to think of something and drawing blank after blank? Well, if you're like most people in the group that I was a part of, it's hard to quickly come up with an answer to that question. You've really got to think about it. And I wonder why. In this group, people slowly began coming up with an answer. After a pretty significant time of awkward silence, most instances were sort of pastoral in nature. Some were very touching and poignant. Others were funny. And some were hardly believable. I told you there were clergy in the group. But after hearing several stories, one person who had not yet spoken gave an answer that made me pause and caused me to think. This person simply said, "Well, I'm astonished every day," with a look of bewilderment on his face as to why we all didn't feel the same thing. Are you astonished every day? And if not, why not? To a great extent, I think that's part of the message that Paul is trying to get across in this conclusion of his letter to the Philippians. Now, let's face it. I've been here a long time, and 95% of the time, I'm going to stand up here and preach on the gospel lesson appointed for today. But admit it, this is a pretty ugly parable. No amount of generalizing about God's hospitality or vulnerability or invitation is going to change that. Preaching generalities about this text is a huge mistake, and trying to gloss over the serious nature of what Jesus is saying is being unfaithful to the text. So the gospel text is much more suited to the dialogue of a Bible study instead of the monologue of a 10-minute sermon. And in an extraordinarily busy week with all kind of meetings and commitments and appointments, blessing over 400 animals, and even having a root canal, I've done what any good priest would do with this text. I've chosen to ignore it. Besides, the passage from Philippians really is one of my favorites, and it is perhaps one of the most quoted and sometimes misquoted texts from all of Paul's letters. Stand firm in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever is true and honorable and just and pure, keep on doing these things. And further on in the text, that wonderful verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is probably writing from prison to a people that he truly loves. And Paul had a choice to make. He could have chosen to be bitter and negative, focusing on all that was wrong with his life. Or he could choose to be astonished. Astonished by all that was right, on all that he still had. And maybe the letter to the Philippians was written as much to himself as it was to them. He had every reason to be depressed, but instead he wrote, rejoice. He had every reason to complain to God about his circumstances, but instead he wrote, "Give thanks." He had every reason to look on the dark side of things, but instead he wrote, "Whatever is pleasing and true and honorable, keep doing these things." He had every reason to give up, but instead he wrote, "I press on. I can do all things." You see, we're not always free to determine what happens to us, but we are always free to choose how we respond to whatever happens. And Paul wants his friends to remember that and to be astonished at all the good that is in their lives. Why do we have to be reminded of that? Isn't it odd to have to remind people to be joyful and grateful? Maybe it's as simple as we've lost our ability to be astonished. How do we become so cynical or busy or bitter or wounded or certain or exclusive or even just indifferent that we fail to be astonished every single day? It's a choice. Whether the days are difficult or the harvest is plentiful, it's a choice to be astonished. Why were you born at a particular place and time to particular parents? Why now and not in some earlier time or century? Why is your life spent in freedom in the wealthiest country in the history of the world and not in a place where food and shelter are but a dream? Why are you you? With a particular intelligence and talents and gifts, is all this just chance? Fate, or the accident of our birth? I don't know. But be astonished about it every single day and be grateful. And in doing so, the way we see the world changes. I walk in this place every single day. I take in the beauty of this place that we call home. And I remember how far we've come. And I'm astonished. I walk out those doors and I see a shopping cart full of food that serves as a reminder that 100 kids in need each week receive food for the weekend from us. And I am astonished. I see a group who each month graciously prepares and serves a meal to those in need and to those who maybe just need a friend. And I am astonished. I look around every Wednesday evening to the ever-growing numbers of people who are coming and see the pure joy of worship and fellowship and youth group and children's programs and EFM, and I'm astonished. I see a playground full of hundreds of kids with their beloved pets, and then that evening a church full with more pets, all gathered to simply share what they love and ask God to bless it. And the powerful sense of love and happiness that permeated it all. And I am astonished. I see people throughout the week who gather just to try to learn a little bit more about God and Scripture, and who feel free to doubt and question and sometimes even change their minds. And I am astonished. I see people who walk through these doors and so graciously, humbly, and often disproportionately give of their time, talent, and treasure, and I am astonished. I see people caring for each other in so many ways, both public and private, not out of a sense of duty or obligation or for the sake of recognition, but just out of true love. And I am astonished. I see people walk through these doors, people who are searching for something that they may not even be able to define. And I see them find a home because they see something different here and feel invited to find their place at the table. And I am astonished. I see a place where instead of focusing on sin and how we don't measure up, we celebrate. We celebrate every single time we gather that we are forgiven children of God, and I am astonished. And I see a generation of children growing up who will know the church not as a place of obligation, turmoil, or hypocrisy, but a place of true love and joy and happiness. And I am astonished. Heck, I even cross a Hathaway Bridge every day and can't help but be astonished by the beauty of God's creation in this place we call home, despite the traffic. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever is true and honorable and just and pure, keep on doing those things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Be astonished. Because the world is full of astonishing things around every corner and behind every door. And when we open our eyes, and especially our hearts to that, the funniest thing happens. The world around us changes. Not because the world is different, but because we are. God love you. Amen.